Hey, folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.
Hello and welcome to Millennial Love, a podcast from The Independent on everything to do with love, sexuality, identity and more. This week I'm very excited to be joined by body positivity activist Felicity Hayward to discuss how relationships affect body confidence. We talk about overcoming insecurities we have with our bodies and how these can actually be highlighted when we get intimate with our romantic partners. We also discuss lingerie and the long-lasting damage caused by the Victoria's Secret show, which, of course, has since been cancelled. Enjoy the show! Hi, Felicity!
Hi, babes!
How are you doing?
Yeah, not bad. I decided to get dressed today, put some earrings on for you.
I'm flattered. Thank you. I'm actually also wearing earrings myself. Which is also very rare because obviously we are both at home and I am in pajamas. Anyway, putting that aside, could you just start us off by telling the listeners a bit about what it is that you do?
So I am a plus size model and body positive activist, and I run a brand / movement called Self Love Brings Beauty. And I've been modeling for nearly 9 years now. So I was one of the first plus size models in the UK. And if you want me to go really into detail with it, I got scouted in an East London pub dancing to Diana Ross and got asked to do a shoot as Anna Nicole Smith. And then I got signed and the rest is history.
Wow. And the
short version.
And the agency that you were signed to, were they taking on plus size models at the time, or you, like you said, you were one of the first ones?
Yeah, there was maybe myself and like maybe two others at the time, but they were, when I say plus size, they were about a size 12. So it was, you know, I was very much of the plus size. I was, you know, a size 20, maybe 22, and these girls were maybe size 12. So
wow. And briefly, could you just explain how that has evolved now? Because obviously today you get, you know, bespoke agencies specifically for plus size women, and representation is, you know, it's still not great. I mean, look at the catwalks on London Fashion Week. But it is improving, isn't it?
I mean, I agree with you, it's still not where it needs to be. But if you can understand, from 2012, when I was signed, there was no models of my size or my age existed in the UK. And I was with that agency for less than 6 months. I think they just didn't really get it. And I signed with Milk Management, who are now at the forefront of like making change for so much diversity within the industry. And yeah, there was no one really back then. There was only sort of plus size celebrities. There wasn't really any models. So yeah, you've gone from that to now, like, you have bespoke agencies. Like, pretty much most of the established agencies have a curve board, you know, have a talent board, have all these other different boards which didn't exist back then.
Yeah, it is brilliant. It is brilliant. But yeah, it is still, you know, it's still not at a point where it is equal in terms of representation on the runways. Like, you know, I go to London Fashion Week every season, and it's just, it just feels like when you see a plus size woman on the runway, it never really feels fully integrated. I think they're better at that in New York, actually. I think there are a lot of designers that do it there, but London, they're just so behind. It's like when there's a plus size woman, it feels like tokenism a bit, doesn't it?
Yeah. New York have absolutely smashing it with fashion weeks. And I mean, you just have to look at people, like, not only all the designers out there that use, you know, they don't just use one curve model. They use, I think I did an article on fashion weeks compared to London and New York, and it was something like, you know, 70% of the designers actually do plus size, whether they have them on, even on the catwalks or modeling. Like, the majority of the brands do actually do plus. And in America, they promote and you can go into store and buy them, whereas in the UK that you can't. So there's a store called, well, a platform called 11 Honoré in the US, and they stock like loads of high-end fashion designers. Did you know that like Christopher Kane goes up to like a size 20-22?
What? No, I had no idea.
They stock in 11 Honoré and like Dolce & Gabbana, like all of these, they do. And as a model, when I've been on like high-end fashion editorial sets, like they do have our size, but it just depends where you are in the world, whether they're going to show it and promote it. And so 11 Honoré, this new, they think they're trying to branch over here as well, which would absolutely smash it. Because over here we've got Marina Rinaldi, but that's kind of the only real high-end fashion we have for plus.
It's bonkers, isn't it? Because it's one thing, you know, not putting plus size women on your runway if you don't make clothes for that size, which is a problem in and of itself, obviously. Mm-hmm. But also it just seems like bad business if, you know, you are making, that is your customer, and it's like you're only appealing to one customer. I mean, I could talk to you about this for ages because it's just...
Me too, babes.
Anyway, we should move on. So today we're going to talk about how our relationships affect our body confidence. Now, body confidence and body positivity are subjects we talk about a lot today, but I feel like they're not really discussed in the mainstream within the context of relationships and other people. It's kind of more about, like you said, self-love and how we think about ourselves, which is, of course, I would say paramount, but you know, there is more to be said about how other people impact the way we feel about our bodies. So, you know, just thinking about people who see you naked, the people that are most likely to see you naked are your sexual partners. So it seems like an obvious place to start, really. So how do you think, you know, just looking back, your relationship with your body has impacted the way you relate to partners, if it has?
Well, I remember when I was 17, 18, and no, I was 18, and I had my first kind of like proper boyfriend. And that was kind of when my body really started to change. So my body has always been curvy and bigger in certain places, but it wasn't until I was 18 when I got into this relationship with this guy that I developed stretch marks, and I developed them all over my stomach. Now, because growing up, there was never really any sort of representation with any female with stretch marks. The only, you know, my mum didn't have them when she was pregnant, so she's kind of the only woman I would have seen them on. But there was no people in magazines or anything that kind of showed these things. Everything was always photoshopped and airbrushed and whatever. And I remember exactly where I was in my boyfriend's bathroom, and I was getting ready to have a shower, and I took my jeans off, and I saw some red lines on my stomach, and I genuinely thought, oh, I must have just eaten too much, or like my jeans are too tight, and you get, you know, when you get the creases on your skin from the jeans. And I had a shower, and then I came out and I was like, these haven't washed off, like it's not gone, like what is this? And then out of literally in a few weeks, my whole stomach just grew. It was like a tree branch, all of these like ruby red stretch marks. And I was absolutely mortified. Like it did sort of kind of stop my kind of sex drive. And with my partner, I'd wear really, really high-waisted pants and like high-waisted anything whenever we would go swimming or anything. And I'd wear like high-waisted everything. And I kind of used to dress quite vintage back then, so I kind of managed to kind of incorporate with my style. But I was, you know, I didn't want him to see them. I didn't want to see anything. I was absolutely mortified, and you know, I used every product under the sun to try and get rid of them. And I thought, what have I done wrong to deserve this? Like I saw them as such a bad thing. In actual fact, the reason why I got stretch marks is because I'd gone on to contraception and my body had changed. And also I just moved out of home, didn't really know how to cook. And I was eating with my partner, who was quite skinny actually, but could cook a lot of food. So we're just eating all the time and my body just changed. And it wasn't really that whole relationship I had with him. Like I did used to try and hide everything. And I used to like, you know, get drunk before we had sex. So I kind of like, my feelings didn't go. And I used to think there was really something wrong with me. And it took a good few years for me to kind of accept those stretch marks as a part of me. Mm. I think if, you know, back then, if there had been, you know, Instagram didn't exist. I mean, like, you know, there was other social platforms, but if there was imagery out there and within the magazines and in the beauty industry that showed stretch marks, I wouldn't have felt that way about myself.
Mm. Did you ever talk to him about it, about your insecurities, or did he ever pick up on it?
I think he just, I don't remember talking about it. And I think I just avoided it. And I used to wear like really ridiculous outfits. And I think what I was doing was I was using clothing as an armor. So it was almost like, yeah, I'm really like fun and adventurous and cool. And like, you should hang out with me. And, you know, I'm a really fun girlfriend, but like, I'm putting all of these layers on because I'm embarrassed what's underneath.
Mm. It's so common though. It's such a relatable thing. Like, for me, I think the thing that I started noticing that I was always really embarrassed about in front of partners is cellulite. And again, it's similar to stretch marks. You know, there are endless products out there, you know, marketed to women, like, we can fix you, we can turn you into, you know, the perfect woman if you spend 50 quid on this leg toning cream, or, you know, you use a body brush 3 times a day after the shower, which, by the way, those body brushes, I have them, they're really painful. And you scrub them on your legs and on your bum, it is not an enjoyable thing. And then once I was sent like a little suction cup that you can like put on your leg, and it like sucks the skin, and it's supposed to get rid of cellulite that way. But it's so funny, isn't it? Because it's like you're with someone who, you know, loves you, but it's still like, oh, I'm just gonna like cover up my legs with a towel like all the time. And it really, I think, you know, obviously you have those insecurities anyway, but I think when you are with a partner, it really brings it to the surface, doesn't it? Like you said, that was like the first time that you kind of felt those insecurities. How do you think you overcome that? Do you think it's about talking to the person you're with, or is it about going away and trying to rewire your brain almost?
I don't know, because I think, I don't know if it wasn't so much him or if it was more society, really, because at the end of the day, I know he really loved me, and, you know, I know that it was probably more in my brain than it was his. I think if, you know, if I was to speak to him today, he would be like, what are you talking about? Like, that's crazy. And the thing is, the relationships that I've had since, like, men don't actually care. Like, they really don't. And when I realized that, I was like, how many years have I spent worrying about my body for the male gaze? And actually, as women, we are literally the most powerful, you know, people on this planet that give birth and give life, and we are incredible and amazing. And our bodies will change from being a teenager for puberty. Like you said, if you have contraception, your body does change. Our bodies change so much with all these different things that we put in it. Then you might get pregnant, you know, your body will change again. And then once you've got that, you've got a child, and then you might breastfeed and your body's going to change again. And then after that, we then have menopause.
God, that's so true. When you break it down like that, women's bodies do fluctuate so much. And even just like, you know, when you're on your period, for God's sake, you know, of course you change. You retain maybe a bit more water weight, or your boobs get bigger. Like, you just do fluctuate depending on where you are in your menstrual cycle. And like you said, depending on what contraception you're on, which is a whole other sexist issue, I think, that I've definitely spoken about on the show before, about the lengths that women go to and the shit we do to our bodies just so that we don't get pregnant if we don't want to.
I mean, yeah.
It's mad.
I get you. But it's so difficult because, like, when you then, I think from that point until now, you know, it was only a few years later when I then became a model, you know, and it was... And that was, I was thrown in at the deep end, and I didn't really know what's going on. And I actually think, in a weird way, the industry and the kind of support that I had from people of, you know, you need to be opening these doors, you need to be doing these things, actually gave me the confidence of like, God, like, I need to be doing this, because I didn't have anyone when I was 18 showing up So I then was like, right, I'm going to show you my body. I'm going to show you what I look like. This is natural. This is, you know, and actually my stretch marks, you know, as I didn't know when I was 18, I was like, the redness does go. And then you're left with this kind of like silvery kind of clear stretch mark that's still there. But, you know, it changes. I thought, oh my God, they're going to be red forever. You know, and I think the more that you kind of open up and you show your bodies to your friends, and for me, it was like the friends online and the reaction, I was like, oh, actually, no, this is a good thing. And actually, the body positivity movement online gave me that kind of self-love and everything to be like, do you know what? My next partner, if they don't like my stretch marks and they don't like this, they can, like, I don't care. That is not my issue. If a man doesn't like a woman's body because she's got stretch marks, that's because he has been tainted by society and what is the perfect woman. And for me, and I've always state this is my like quote of my life, is that the perfect body does not exist, simply as there's no two humans on this planet that are the same. So you need to aspire to be the best version of you, not someone else. So it's like, and men get them too. You don't realize this. Men get them. And also, you don't just get stretch marks from gaining weight. You also get them from losing weight. It's about your skin stretching and shrinking. And like, you then look at like all of these like guys that go to the gym, like these big guys, like big muscle guys that go to the gym that are like super fit, or like you get the guys like playing rugby and like the boxers and all of this, they are literally ripped and covered in stretch marks. But for some reason, as women, we're looking at them, and I can't talk for everybody, but I look at a guy with stretch marks and I do not see it as unattractive. I'm like, oh my God, like that's part of him, like he's gorgeous, whatever. I don't see that, and I'm like, he's just grown.
It's so funny. It's because you're right, it's not necessarily about the partner, it's about, like you said, it's a society thing. So I, you know, when I look at pictures of celebrities in the tabloids or something, and someone like, I don't know, Kendall Jenner, and you see a picture of her in a bikini, I catch myself looking at the pictures of her legs to be like, where is her cellulite? Where is the proof that she is a real woman? Because it's just like, and I'm sure she has it. Of course, I'm sure she has it, but it's just, I find myself looking for that reassurance of knowing that, like, okay, someone like that, who is hailed as, you know, one of the most beautiful women in the world or whatever, she's just like me. She has cellulite too. It's like, you're desperate for it all to be normalized, because it isn't. And it's such a problem.
I mean, that family is quite problematic with body image as it is. So.
Oh, I mean, yeah, that's probably a bad example, because that family has a lot of, yeah, that's a very good point. That's a whole other episode that we could do on the Kardashians and the Jenners.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
It's interesting what you said, though, about like, you know, going away and doing the work yourself and trying to kind of like unlearn these things that society conditions you to think about the perfect body. Because I think something that I've always kind of grappled with is like, every time I'm with someone new, no matter how much work I've done on myself and my own body image, I can't help but feel like I'm starting from zero, like every time with a new partner, because it's like, well, they're going to see me naked for the first time, you know? And it's like, you almost have to like start from scratch and in order to feel comfortable around them. Do you know what I mean? Do you feel like that?
I mean, as well, when I've, you know, in the past, like, obviously there's a lot of photos of me on the internet. So someone already has their ideal of what they think I might look like naked. And the thing is, a lot of photo shoots and stuff that I do will be out of my control or how they edit it. But that's why I make sure that I'm always have like real images of stuff of me online. Not for men, by the way, but for women, and well, for any gender basically, who's looking for body positivity. But I totally understand. It's like, it's a new person, it's a new being, it's a new experience. And I think that's fine to be like that in a certain way. I think it's fine, like, as long as it's more of an excitement than it is of a sort of a negative sort of thing, because that person has been attracted to you for a reason, and like, you're more than just your body. You know, there's a lot with your energy, your soul, your personality. You know, there's a lot that your warmth, there's much more to you than just the vessel that you are living in. So I think that's what you kind of have to sometimes think before you get super anxious about maybe being naked with someone. Because at the end of the day as well, like, guys and other girls, you know, they have a lot, it's not just you that has these feelings. Like, a lot of the time these other your partners or your rendezvous have probably got the same feeling inside, but just maybe not, don't show it.
Do you think feeling confident in your skin is a sign that you're in a good relationship, if you are in a relationship and you feel very confident?
Yeah, I think if you're in a relationship and you're feeling confident, it's a sign that you're feeling at one with yourself. And but you can still feel vulnerable in other elements. So I feel like, I always feel when I'm in a relationship and I'm happy, I am my most confident, and I usually do put on a lot of weight as well, because I'm more happy and secure and I'm a bit more lazy. I don't go out as much. Do you know what I mean? Because you're spending more time with that person. So it's weird actually, because I'm probably the most confident and happy when I'm in a relationship, but I'm probably bigger than I am when I'm not.
That's so interesting though, isn't it? It's like, it's a sign that that's your body getting comfortable, and that's a healthy thing, isn't it? It's like, well, maybe beforehand you were restricting yourself in a way that your body didn't like. And it's like, well, now I think if your mood is good and your body changes, you know, if those the way that those things are matched up is a good thing. You know, it's like, take note of that, and clearly your body is happier in this state than it was in a different one. I've definitely had that as well. Now I know you work with a lingerie brand, so I want to ask you a bit about lingerie, because I think this is something that comes up time and time again when we speak about body confidence in relationships. And it's a bit cliched sometimes, like the idea of like, oh, you know, put on your sexy underwear for your boyfriend or girlfriend or whatever. And it's like, I know I've done that in the past, and it hasn't, like, I big it up as being like, oh, I'm gonna be so sexy and so attractive. And then it just fails. It just doesn't work. It doesn't end up the way you think it's going to. And you're so gutted, because it's like, well, society tells me that this is how people want women to look, and you want to be wearing like really skimpy, lacy clothes and whatever. But it's an interesting thing, because I think there's a lot of damage there to be undone. You know, I'm thinking specifically of the Victoria's Secret show, which Kendall Jenner, funnily enough, modeled for. And it's only just recently been put on pause. I think they are going to come back, but they didn't do one last year. But for years, that fashion show was this kind of like beacon of femininity and beauty. And, you know, the whole idea was you have the most beautiful women in the world strutting down this catwalk alongside the most famous musicians in the world. And they're kind of hailed as these like goddesses. And there would be these like YouTube tutorials in order to how to get the Victoria's Secret body. And there would be articles about how to get the Victoria's Secret body. And, you know, because they're super, super slim typically, but somehow also have big boobs and a big bum, and they're like super toned. And the implication is that this is what you need to look like in order to feel confident in lingerie, and in order to feel confident in front of a partner. And that idea like plagued me for years, because I just totally bought into it. how did that impact you growing up? Were you aware of the Victoria's Secret show and stuff?
I was aware of it, but the clothes never, ever, ever, ever would fit me. So I kind of blanked it out of my life. It was the easiest way to do. Like growing up, when you can't buy clothes in certain stores, you would just blank it out. And I think it is frustrating because I've seen like some of my friends around me who have been influenced and stuff by it. And it's, again, it's run by a misogynistic male who has got one beauty ideal, and he believes that that is his ideal of femininity, and that's his ideal of what he is attracted to. I mean, Victoria's Secret, all of the awful things that happened with them, what he spoke about, how he spoke about plus size women, how he spoke about trans women, like it was all hideous.
Yeah, and this is Ed Razzik. Sorry, this is Ed Razzik, right? Who I think no longer works there.
Yeah.
I think they've all stepped down. I think as far as I'm aware, since all of that came out, because he did an interview with Vogue, didn't he, where he said, he basically explained that they wouldn't ever have plus size women on their runway because the show is, in inverted commas, a fantasy.
Yeah.
Right. And he said the same about transgender people as well, didn't he?
Yeah. And now, and then you look at Savage Fenty and you're like, lol.
Yeah. So that was going to be my next point, isn't it? Then you look at what Rihanna's doing with her incredible lingerie brand, which, you know, now she's got this deal with Amazon where they do these spectacular shows. And I think the last one just came out a few weeks ago, which is around the same time the Victoria's Secret show traditionally would have come out. And you've got models with disabilities, you've got models of all sizes, all ethnicities. Like, it's such a, you know, wonderful, glorious celebration of women.
Yeah.
Whoever identifies as that, you know? And it's just, it's amazing that it took this long for the Victoria's Secret show to be seen as outdated, isn't it?
It's, the thing is as well is like I think the thing with lingerie and like feeling sexy in lingerie, like number one, if you can't find it for your size, that's one thing. But I think that's one thing that, like, you know, Savage Fenty have done so well is they've produced such a huge, huge range of pieces for, we start to do men as well. So she's got like boxer shorts and stuff in them, which is cool. The one thing that I will say about certain brands is a lot of the time they will, when they branch out to do plus, they change the styles. So they're almost like sister styles, but they're not the same. And that's one thing that I was like really, really proud of with my collection with Playful Promises was I was like, right, number one, I'm not going to do a plus size range. I want to do a range with the maximum amount of range sizes that you physically can produce for me. So we do a size 8 to 26 and we do 32 to 44 back and A to H cup. So it's like, it's a lot of sizes, but we made pieces that were all the same style. So all the styles are from the small to the large, everything is the same, which you find very, very rarely within the lingerie industry. Because I was like, I wanted to have something that all of my girlfriends, we could all wear, they're exactly the same. And just because I'm bigger doesn't mean I want double straps, double thickness, extra like higher cups. Like, no, I want the half cups. I want to have the suspenders. I want to have the harnesses. I want to have all the cool things that the smaller size girls all get, but I'm going to have it not just for plus, I'm going to do it for everyone. So it's like, look, I'm not just doing the plus size team here. I'm doing everyone. And when you see a collection that has everything for everyone, that's where we need to be.
Absolutely. But I mean, for God's sake, why are brands doing that in the first place? Because the implication is like, oh, well, you know, a plus size woman isn't going to want to wear the lacy bra. She's going to want something much more like utilitarian. Like, what kind of implication is that?
If you don't give us the option, how do you know that we don't want it?
It's awful. It's awful. So is that still an issue? There still aren't that many brands that have those wide ranges.
Yeah, well, usually if it's a brand, it'll be a solely like a plus size brand. So there's loads of amazing plus size bra brands, like lingerie brands, but they'll specifically just do that range. Even Savage Fenty, I love for them and I've worked for them and will continue to work with them. But even they're sort of like if me and you went to go and buy a certain set, I guarantee you mine would be a different style to yours.
Really?
Yeah, it's a bit of being similar, but it would be like, I would have like double thick straps or double thick band or whatever. And I want the kind of cute lacy. Yeah, I've got bigger boobs, but that doesn't mean that I don't want to have something really slim and like sexy and like, you know, yeah.
Have you seen Lizzo's videos of herself like dancing in lingerie?
Brilliant.
Oh my God, they are so good. She did Savage Fenty recently, didn't she? But she often posts these amazing videos of her dancing to sexy music in underwear. And it's just, she looks amazing. And, you know, she's wearing like the thin straps and the, you know, thin lace and whatever. And she just looks incredible. God, I love Lizzo. So it's time for our Lessons in Love segment. So this is the part of the show where I ask every guest to basically share something that they have learned from their previous relationship experiences. So Felicity, what is your lesson in love?
My lesson in love would be to stop worrying what your partner really thinks of you, because it's actually all in your head.
Ooh, no. That is good. That is a really good one. Can I ask if, obviously, you know, when you were talking about that partner before, that was before you became a model.
Yeah.
Has becoming a model and, you know, doing the work that you do on Instagram, has that changed the way that you feel about your body in relationships? And has that made you feel much more confident?
100%. I think like when you feel like you have a support system and some cheerleaders, whether that's your best friends, your social media following, your agents, whoever it is, when you have that, you're going to ooze sex appeal and ooze confidence, because you feel like, actually, no, even if I have these negative thoughts, I have this support system around me and I have this community that are in the same position as me and are rooting for me. And yeah, it's definitely helped.
That's it for today. Thank you so much for listening. If you're a new listener to this show, you can subscribe to us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Acast, or anywhere else. You can comment and leave us a rating too, so that more people can find us. Keep up with everything to do with the show on Instagram. Just search Millennial Love. See you soon.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.